Let's bow our heads to pray. Father, again, we thank you so much for your word to us, and we pray that as we look together at the Bible, so you would teach us and encourage us and help us and strengthen us and guide us so that we might live our lives in ways that please you, in ways that extend your kingdom. And we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Can you please turn to Matthew's Gospel? It's nice and easy. It's at the very beginning of the New Testament. New Testament about two-thirds of the way through the Bible. Matthew's Gospel in chapter 16. I haven't got a page number. My numbers are slightly different from your numbers. 17. Matthew chapter 16. And I'm going to read verses 13 to 20. So Matthew chapter 16 and verses 13 to 20. Now, when Jesus came into the district of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, "Who do people say that the Son of Man is?" And they said, "Some say John the Baptist, but others Elijah, and still others Jeremiah, or one of the prophets." He said to them, "But who do you say that I am?" Simon Peter answered, "You are the Messiah, the Son of the living God." And Jesus answered him, "Blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father in heaven. And I tell you, you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades will not prevail against it. I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven." Then he sternly ordered the disciples not to tell anyone that he was the Messiah. This is the word of the Lord. Well, I thought that this morning what we would do is we just reflect a little bit on what you've been thinking about in the last two Sundays when May has been preaching on my behalf. And I've been away at different churches in the States, Roman Catholic Church 2 weeks ago, and then an independent church in a town called Sheridan, Wyoming, where my niece's husband is one of the pastors. And one of the things that I learnt about that church is that they've got screens and things. It's a more traditional church, it's a darker church, and they've got screens up the front. And they have a little sign before the service begins that says, "The service will begin in," and then they've got a clock that goes downwards. So that it starts up about 15 minutes before, and it's 15 minutes and 10 seconds, and then before very long, it's 14 minutes and 59 seconds. And on the dot of the commencement time, they begin. So when we get screens at St. Stephen's, will there be any point in having a clock that goes downwards? However, one of the other great blessings of going to the States is that I have replenished my stock of Snickers bars, small-scale Snickers bars. You can't get them in this country, but you can. And you can also get gold Rolos. And in this country, you can get Mars bars. And that's about it, I think, in terms of things. So, chance to have an opportunity to remember and get a Mars bar or a sweetie, if you remember. Now, 2 weeks ago, May was talking about sin. And she asked you to think, what is the essence of sin? Not sins, earth, the things we do wrong, but what is the essence of sin? And it was a word that began with R. And I've got one person who's keen for a sweetie, so let's go for it. Afwa, can you remember a word that begins with R that is the essence of sin? Your children know. We might have to have a sweetie each for you and your children, I would have thought.
No problem. Rebellion.
Rebellion, yes. Okay, quickly, so I can get the word up. Quickly.
Oh, yes, thank you.
Oh, that's interesting. They've gone for the English Mars bars rather than the American Snickers. Okay, so the first word when we're thinking that May was thinking about, the essence of sin is rebellion. And it just means that the things we do wrong, we can go, oh, you know, I've been greedy, or oh, I've gossiped, or I've looked at something I shouldn't looked at on the internet, whatever it is, we can think that's the sin. But actually, it's a heart attitude that says, I'm going to run my life my way, and God, you stay out of it. And that lies at the heart of everything that we do wrong. It is rebellion against God. That's the very core of what sin is about. It's saying, you stay out of it, God. I'm going to get on with running my... And we might even say, I'm going to be in charge of running my life. And because I think you're quite a good idea, God, I'll live my life pretty much your way, but I'm the one who's in charge. And that's still rebellion. It's just that willingness to say, Jesus is king, and I'm going to submit to him. That passage that we looked at the beginning, it's about recognizing that Jesus is the Messiah. He's the one that all the scriptures have been looking forward to. They thought he was so amazing that they thought he was one of the prophets come back to life again, or even John the Baptist, who just recently been killed, come back to life again. That Jesus was thoroughly amazing to the people. All the people around were saying, who is this man? He's a new prophet. We haven't had a prophet, an authentic prophet, for 400 years. And Peter says, you're not just one of the prophets. You're the one that all the prophets pointed forward to. You're Messiah. And they say, don't tell anybody about that yet, because it's so controversial that he's not going to have time to do his ministry. He would be killed more quickly if they announced it publicly. But that shows us that what we are to understand about Jesus is that he is the one who has been sent. He is the one who has come. And so we declare that he is king, but also that he's come to be saviour. So our problem in relation to God is that he is there, and our hearts and our minds and our lives were rebellious against him. And then the second word that May had 2 weeks ago that is in a sense trying to say, well, what do we do in response to we've realized that we've rebelled? And it's another word that begins with R. And I'm going to get my sweetie jar out again. Okay, Orlan has got her hand up quickly. Let's. Francis obviously is sitting in the back row, so he gets a sweetie as well. Repentance. Yes, absolutely right. Repentance. Okay, I think the entire family is entitled to one sweetie.
Where is the American one?
The American ones are these ones. Okay, so the second word, thinking about if we're rebellious, how do we solve that problem? What do we do about it? Well, it is repentance. And what May was saying is that when we go to that place of repentance, we're just saying, Lord, I acknowledge that I've done wrong. I have been walking it my own way, and I'm willing to turn right round and walk back the other way, to submit to Jesus as Lord. That place of repentance, that acknowledging that we've done something wrong, acknowledging that our heart is wrong. It's not asking us to be perfect. It's just simply saying, I acknowledge that I am wrong and that I'm sorry about that. And I'm asking that God will forgive me, and I'm asking that I can live differently. And the way that we understand, you'll be very familiar with the idea that the way that we can be forgiven is that we realize that Jesus came not just to be king as a sort of God-made human being, but he came in order to be savior. Remember that right the first time that John the Baptist saw Jesus in the distance, he said to his disciples, behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. The Lamb of God, the sacrifice, And his purpose in coming is to take away sin, so that when we come to Christ, we can know that we are completely forgiven and washed clean. And May talked a lot about that idea of having all our sins. In the old days, when computer printouts, you had pages and pages and pages of computer printout, and that could be a record of our sins that just is kept. And when it's touched by the blood of Christ, everything on that computer printout is washed away, and it's just a completely empty white paper. And that's the understanding of the power of what Jesus did for us on the cross. He took the punishment that my sin, that your sin deserved, so that we are then given his righteousness. And you spent some time in those last couple of Sundays writing down stuff that the Holy Spirit was reminding you about, where your particular area of rebellion, writing it down to say sorry and putting it into the shredder, the sin bin, so that you could get rid of it and be reminded that it's gone. It's completely away from us when we have come in repentance. And then last week particularly, she had another word that you were thinking about that sort of indicates a fresh start and an opportunity for new life. Anybody remember it's a word beginning with R again? That was a word that... Go for it.
Sorry.
Revival is certainly begins with R and it means much the same thing. It's not actually the word that I've written down, but we've got one more. Aaron, what do you think?
Reborn.
A good word beginning with R means new life. Yes, it's not the one I've got written down, but it'll do well. Anybody remember? May's struggling, so I've clearly got the thing. I had renewal, simply, but... Oh, good, there was some... All right, beg your pardon. Wouldn't want to miss out on the sweetie. Okay, there you go. You can take one for Sharif as well. Yeah. Okay, good. Okay, so our problem is that we rebel. The great joy is that when we repent, we are fully forgiven. And then what Jesus is doing is that he is renewing us. He's giving us new life. And that's something that is sort of fantastic. And renewal, we can think of something starting again, new life in the springtime. We can think of all sorts of times where things are renewed and they begin again. And that's what the Christian life is going to be about. It's about renewal. And today, I want to add another R to that list. And think a bit about what our response is. What should our response be to all of this? And it's something that we just need to be spending a bit of time thinking, well, what is the response that God is looking for? Because it's not that these things are sort of automatic. We actually have to acknowledge ourselves that we've rebelled. We have to look for our own repentance, our own saying sorry, and to begin to be renewed. And it's something that we do as a church, of course, that we say sorry just before we have communion today. We're going to say sorry again. And we're looking for new life. We talk about rebirth. We talk about being reborn. We talk about renewal in all sorts of different ways. But it has to be something that we do individually as well as together. It isn't enough just to say, well, you know, everybody else can do it. It's a matter of individually saying, I'm going to play my part. I'm going to do what God is wanting me to do. And if you think about an army, and you can have an army marching. Well, each individual soldier has got to decide to stand in line and put the uniform on and march in step. The thing looks different when it's a whole body of people coming. Yes, of course. But it wouldn't work if individuals said, I'm not going to be part of it. And one of the pictures that's used again and again about the church is that we're like an army. We have weapons that are given to us, and together we can stand and do and achieve things that you can't do by yourself. But it requires each person to be willing to step up and play their part and to do what we're required to do. In the Old Testament, the people of Israel went into the Promised Land, and it was promised to them, and they arrived, and it had been 500 years since Abraham was promised that his descendants were going to inherit the land. And when they got into the land over the River Jordan and they were beginning, suddenly they discovered there were already people there. They've got to fight for it. God's promised it to them, but they've got to fight for it. And that's going to be how it is in the spiritual realm for us. We've got to be fighting for it. We've got to live in that place of knowing who we are, live in that place of repentance, live in that place of I've been given new life in Christ, I'm renewed by the power of the Holy Spirit, but taking that action, that response of actually saying I'm going to live individually. Now, I'm going to make some statements that I think we just need to hear. On Friday, I was back, and we had our monthly prayer meeting. Every month, we meet together as a church to pray for the activities of the church, for God to work through us into our community. We meet on the last Friday of the month. So, last Friday was the 31st of August, and we met. Anybody going to hazard a guess as to how many of us there were? We've had two, as slightly better than two, I'm pleased to say. How many do you think?
Four.
Four people. It's not a new thing to meet on the last Friday of the month. So part of repentance for our rebellion and renewal and our response is marked down in your thinking. There's going to be a prayer meeting on the last Friday of September. And I know you can say to me, well, I pray at home. And of course I understand that there are some people who've got responsibilities to children and they can't come between 8 and 9 o'clock on a Friday night, come to church. But part of our response is, I don't just leave it to others. I'm willing to step up and play my part. If the army advances and you just look at the army and there are lots of spaces that are missing as the platoon is walking forward, you'd say, well, they're not particularly powerful. Every single person is necessary, that individually we have to say, I'm part of it. You can't just say everybody else is going to do it and not me. We need to be recognizing that our response is that if I believe these things, I'm going to live differently. In the spiritual realm, that warrior, that fighting thing, it's not that we've actually particularly got to do very much. It's as much as anything else, it's just standing and declaring who we are and what God has done and what we believe in response to that. That's why this morning I built the order of service looking at the service that we'd had on Easter Day. And that's why we had, He has risen. And all those great truths that we rejoice in as Christians, they are statements of faith. And that's what we're about. We're declaring that we believe that, and that truth makes a difference to how we live every day, how we run our marriages, how we run our families, how we run our relationships, what sort of employee we are, what sort of neighbor we are. All of those things are colored by the fact that I belong to Jesus, and Jesus is raised, and He's going to be returning, and He's going to come as judge. And the big question is, who believes in Him? And I have a responsibility, and you have a responsibility, to help other people to come to faith, to understand that Jesus has come to be Savior and Lord and Messiah. So our response is something which is together, of course, and we support one another, and that's why small groups, it's why Sunday morning, we're encouraging one another by making these declarations of faith together. We're working it out in the small groups that we can. But it's individual and it's together. It wouldn't have been particularly fun yesterday to have had the coach going down to Margate, and it was just Rosalie who went. There would hardly have been a church outing. Well, everybody else can go, you know, I don't have to go because it's just... And we go, well, that's not a church outing. We need to commit to go and to go, and then it was grace. But if we say, Rosalie will go, that's all right. Do you see how it doesn't work if we're not individually saying, I'm going to respond. I'm going to believe the truth, and I'm going to live the truth, and I'm going to work together with others to promote that truth. My response is important. And there is joy in it. It's not just, oh dear. It's exciting to pray. It's exciting to see the answers to prayer. We've had testimony this morning about how amazing God is and how he encourages us as a matter of discipline to pray for protection when we set out into every day, when we set out especially on journeys, to pray for that sort of protection, asking for journeying mercies, just that the Lord is going to protect us. And we've been reminded of how important that is, because we have an enemy who all the time wants to try and destroy us. It's there in the scriptures that we need to remember that. Now, our temptation, part of our rebellion is, well, it's not going to make a difference, I pray or not. We think that we're bigger than God in that sense. So we need to be living a life in response to the truths that we have heard and that we say that we believe. We declare them, we grow in them, we understand. And that phrase that Jesus uses in Matthew, where he says, Matthew 16 that I read at the beginning, where he says, I will build my church. It's on the faith that Peter had, his knowledge that had been revealed to him that Jesus was the Messiah. That's the core truth that Christians believe. It's on the faith of that that Jesus says, I will build my church. And it involves each of us being able to believe that and to live that out. And then he goes on to say, I will build my church and the gates of hell will not prevail. Now, gates are passive things. They stand there like this doorway. They stand there. And the picture is that the church is advancing. Jesus is building his church. And as his church advances, so the gates of hell just crumple before the church, before the people of God advancing. And that's terrific. That's how it is. But it's going to require all of us stepping up towards those gates of hell. It's taking the action to be willing to say, I believe these things, I declare these things, I'm going to go on the offensive in that, I'm going to be active in my faith. It's not a passive thing that just is Sunday mornings. So as we're beginning to think towards the next academic year, you know, how sort of church life runs on a year that's much the same as the school year. So September, in a number of ways, is the beginning of a new year. We need to be thinking individually and together about what our response is. We've remembered the heart of our problem is rebellion and distance from God. The way to deal with that is to repent and say, I'm sorry, and to come back. We need to understand that God is all about new life being reborn, about life being renewed. And then we need to respond to that, living in the light of that, together, encouraging one another, but also individually, all of us, stepping up to the plate, all of us, on the offensive, all of us, saying the enemy is not going to take territory in my life because I am Christ's. I belong to Jesus. These things are true, and I'm going to live that way. Let's bow our heads to pray. Father, we do thank you so much that you love the world enough to take the action to give the Lord Jesus. Father, thank you so much that you have opened our eyes to the truth just as you opened Peter's eyes all those years ago. It was by a revelation from the Father that he understood that Jesus was not just one of the prophets, another one in a long line. He was the Messiah, the one that all the prophets had looked forward to. Thank you, Father, that we understand that Jesus died as our Savior and rose again, defeating death that is such good news. It is at the core of what we believe about what it is to be alive. And Father, I'm asking that you will indeed build the church of Jesus Christ here in this place at St. Stephen's. That, Father, each of us will be stirred and encouraged by your Holy Spirit to step up, to stand boldly against the enemy, declaring who we are in Christ, believing who we are. Father, we ask that you would help us to look to you, to have the strength to be able to do this. It's not something that we do in our own strength. It is that we are to be strong in the Lord. And Lord, please help us in that, so that as a church we might grow, that we might go forward, that we might be taking territory for the kingdom of God, that, Father, new people will be added. All of us will grow and deepen as Christians in this coming year. Father, we're asking that you would bless us so that our response is that Christian things become for us far and away the most important thing in life, because it is the most important thing in life. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.